Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Brandon Henke, Ism, and Hellbjorn. Coming up on TMS, the important thing is that you feel bad.
Scott forces Fury Road on another victim.
You suck. Thanks for listening.
Miami Vice City.
Harrison Ford was a carpenter. You knew who else was a carpenter? Karen.
Horses are assholes.
Seidel lessons.
Kentucky Derby.
Keith Richards sucks life force.
Emotional support horse.
Why does the Michelin man give out stars?
Turkey furts and leftovers.
Nobody listens to Amy.
Big feet mean big shoes.
Thanks, Dr. Eyeball.
Get me photos. Photos of Omni-Man with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Carnation milk, the best in the land. Comes in a tin with a red and white band. No tits to pull, no hay to pitch. Just punch two holes in the son of a bitch.
No more vinegar and water douches for me. They're such a bother.
The Morning Stream. Ah, that's the level of stupid we're looking for.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Monday, November 20th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian Ibbett.
Hello.
It's the Thanksgiving week.
Thanksgiving week. A little light week for us.
Yeah, a little light.
Only doing shows on days that don't begin with T.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
That was our plan.
That was always the plan. So here's the deal. We got a show today. We got no show tomorrow. That's some people last night on the schedule were like, why does the schedule not say there's a show tomorrow? Well, like we mentioned on this show multiple times, that apparently you're all listening to very carefully, there is no show tomorrow because I have a dental appointment. So that's all. It's the best I could get before the holidays kicked in, and it was a big mess if I waited, and so anyway, we're doing that. So tomorrow, that's where I'll be. And then back Wednesday with a show.
Killing
it, you know, like we do. Just putting it out there, laying it out.
Just exactly. Everything. The feud. With
oh,
Dunaway,
the whole thing. You just lay it out like a...
The recommendals, all that stuff.
All of it. Just all of it right there for you to take. And then Thursday is Thanksgiving here in the United States of America. And on that day, we celebrate corn and the Indians giving it to the guys at the hats and the weird ties and the funky shorts.
And we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us.
Right.
That's all part of it.
Yeah, all the Malcolm X stuff we do on that day. It's going to be great.
Thursday, as they call it in Ireland.
Thursday. We're not doing a show on Thursday. But
no show Thursday.
We will do a play date on Friday. And, you know, we got all kinds of things. It's just a little wonky this week, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
But welcome to it. Let's get straight to it. There's somebody who called. I know. I'm really glad Amy's in the chat today, because this kind of has something to do with her. So I'll just play it. This is a call about Dungeon Crawler Carl, a book series thing, and here he is.
Hey, I was listening, and you played a sound clip, and it was from Dungeon Crawler Carl. And I don't think I've ever heard you guys talk about that on the show. But Scott, if you are reading that book, I would love to know your opinion on it. Thanks. Have a great day.
So he must have missed the entire episode where Amy gushed.
Right. So did you play a clip from the book on a separate show, like as a stinger or something?
Yes. And that came from Amy.
From Amy's audio clip that she sent us for that episode.
Correct. Yeah. Or she may have even sent it separately. I think maybe as a separate chunk. But that's where he heard it. And And yes, we did. We had a whole segment, a whole read this segment about that very book. So you must have missed that episode. No worries.
Well, the question is, you know, I'm trying to remember if we, because I know there was a week where we did like three, where Amy recommended like a couple books. And I'm trying to remember, that might have been the week that I'm looking to see quicktms.li if I put links to all the books we talked about on that episode. I don't know if I did.
Maybe. That maybe it's not on there.
Yeah, it might not be on there, and that's why. Oh, no, I did. There it is. October 3rd.
Okay.
October 3rd.
The 3rd of October.
Dungeon Crawler Carl.
That was a Thursday.
I met Gentleman. We talked about it on a Thursday. It was October 3rd.
I don't know why that works for me today.
It's just fun to say it.
It is fun to say. But yeah, we talked about it, and I downloaded it. I have it on my Kindle. I've not gotten around to it yet. I got into this loop of horror books and thriller books, and I haven't been able to stop. So I'm in the middle of one right now called Brother, which sounds like the name of my nephew's band.
It's exactly the name of your nephew's band. Except, yeah. Do they spell it with a period at the end?
No period at the end. No.
Ah, okay. There's the difference right there.
Yeah, and they don't get to go to Korea 3 times a year because their parents pay for them to go. Anyway, that's a whole separate thing. But anyway, the book is really good and creepy so far, but it just keeps hooking me, and I have a hard time getting on to what's next. But what's next is Dungeon Crawler Carl. That's on there.
Cool.
It's hard to say fast. Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Dungeon Crawler Carl. Dungeon Crawler Carl.
So you have no problem.
Dungeon Crawler Carl.
You have no problem.
I screw up with the Carl. I like the Carl.
Yeah. That's better than Dungeon Crawler Carl. Carl.
Carl, get back in the house, Carl. How many books? There's like 6 books. Wow.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. Am I committing to a big... I'm committing.
You are. It's the book 1 of 6. But you know what? From everything I've heard, it should be much enjoyable for you. I'm going to do... Yeah, it looks like I've got the... I'll just throw it on my Kindle.
Yeah, it's Kindle Unlimited, so it's cheap.
Kindle...
Basically free.
Free.
Yeah.
Free even.
Free, I guess. How much is Unlimited? It's like $4.
$14 for the audio. I'm sorry, the... audio $7.49 for the audio and $16 for the paperback.
If you do Unlimited, I think you're paying only $5 a month. And man, that thing has been the best deal. Like, I have some subscriptions I really value. I really like YouTube Premium. There's a couple others I really like, but and there's a lot of shit Amazon does with Prime and stuff I don't like. Like, it's too expensive overall, Prime and stuff like that. But Kindle Unlimited, if you're reading on the regular and you do like me where you like to read on a Kindle and not audio.
Oh, yeah.
Man, what a deal.
The same reason you do. It's like, if I need to sleep, that's a great way. That's a great way to get me to sleep.
Yeah, you want me to conk out immediately. Maybe I need to do that more often, though.
Well, the problem is that I get to sleep just fine. Fall asleep instantly. Problem is I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and that's when life goes awry.
Did that happen to you today?
It didn't. Morning. I woke up at 4, so I watched...
late sleeper.
yeah, I know. Woo! Slipped in, did you? I watched a documentary that I need to watch for Soundography with Hammond.
Oh, a music-related deal, I take it.
It is, and it's really cool. I'll talk about it here. It's called Cassette, and it's all about the creation of the audio cassette and how it kind of is making its resurgence. It never disappears, but nobody's out there saying, oh, audio cassette is the best way to listen to music. It's so much better than CD or streaming or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. My kids are all into them. Carter over there.
Yeah.
Collecting them. Plays them on my old sports Walkman from the 80s.
I love it.
Yeah. That's great. Not the cool one that Greg sent me.
Not the Greg for Walkman.
Yeah, that one's mine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's that. Thank you for reminding us about a cool book series and also not listening to the show very carefully.
You know, let's really alienate our listeners by chastising them for not paying attention to
something. Let's give them shit we're available.
The important thing is that you feel bad.
Yeah.
But thanks for listening. Love the show, though.
You know, the people that really make the show possible, we should really give them the most crap.
We really need to rip on them a little bit more.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of movies. Well, I guess we didn't talk about movies. I was talking pre-show about watching Goodfellas with Nick tonight.
And, oh, yeah. Yeah.
We had a Mad Max Fury Road virgin.
Oh, did you?
Who is no longer virginal in the Mad Max Fury Road. And so here's what
we did. Poor Van. I feel like Van and Phoebe are now scarred making them watch that horror
movie. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine showing that to a four-year-old? Oh, I'd be in so much trouble. No, this is Carter's friend, Alicia. She's awesome. We really like her a lot. And she had never seen it. So when she said this, proclaimed this at dinner or something a while back, I went, what? We're changing that? Let's schedule a time. And so our scheduled time was Saturday this week, Saturday night.
Yeah.
And she's super artsy fartsy. She loves doing like, you know, cosplay and getting ready for Comic Cons, and she loves anime, and she's really creative that way, but she's also just like really reliable. She's just like this really great person, this girl. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And an amazing friend to Carter, and it's just, they're great friends. Anyway, I wasn't sure if her sensibilities would match up with, you know, what Fury Road was bringing to the table.
Sure. Oh gosh. Yeah. It's a gamble. You don't know if you're going to be ruining this poor girl, or if you're going to turn her into a convert.
Yeah. The good news is, so I made a goal of, I'm not going to talk during this film at all, because my tendency this excited is to go, do you see that guy? That guy.
Right. Oh, I know exactly. Look at that. It's a bullet farmer, and his whole story is da 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 da.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Doof Warrior, and look at this.
And I figure we also did the math. We think this was my 20th viewing, so it was almost like a milestone, you know, for me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we sit down and watch it. I shut up the whole time, just let it go. I had it cranked on the volume, you know, surround, loud, beautiful screen, 4K, just as good as I can play this movie without being in a giant theater. And it ends, and I look over at her, and I said, all right, what'd you think? She freaking loved it. She really liked it. Good. And I was afraid maybe she was just saying that because I'm sitting there.
Yeah, yeah.
But
did you check her text messages later, like what she told other people?
I didn't check those. I think that would be a creepy move on my part. but she did. We hooked her up to a lie detector, and she passed.
Oh, good. Okay, that's adequate.
Everything's fine now. But anyway, she really liked it. And I think if you've been putting it off for whatever reason, you just didn't understand what was going on, now's the time. Make 2023 the holiday period. Your time to finally dig in and see the greatest film of the last 20 years. Do it.
Screw Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Make Mad Max your holiday annual rewatch.
Yeah. Forget Christmas Vacation or A Christmas Story or any of those other grand traditions. Put those to the side and saddle on up to some wasteland entertainment. All right? Get that done. Anyway, it was a lot of fun, and big thanks to Alicia for being a good sport. She had a good time.
Very cool.
And she's also just like, she's such a nerd. It's just great. I don't know. I'm just happy Carter has a friend like that. She's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to, we got to call Dunaway. Holy shit.
Yeah. We need to bring in Dunaway for a little asses of half.
That's right.
That's right.
Here he comes. Hold on.
Yeah. Rainbow Bright wanted to know if, what episode was it? The episode of TMS right after you saw Fury Road for the first time.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's see. Didn't somebody find that? Because we have
somebody,
audio.
Somebody could probably find that just based on the date. Like, because you saw it in theaters opening weekend, right?
I did. I saw it that weekend. Maybe even that Thursday. And, so it was 2015. I want to say it was in April. So we could probably narrow this down. We have audio of us before we ever saw it, of me predicting things that I was excited about.
Your predictions. I know your predictions of, you know, how good it would do at the Oscars. You didn't predict that before you even saw the movie.
No. That was after. So we also have audio of that someplace where I said, I think this thing's going to be a Best Picture nomination, and nobody believed me. Mm. I knew it wouldn't win for the record.
May 15th, 2015 was the actual release date of the film.
Okay, so a little later than I was thinking.
So you can find first episode of TMS after that, and it'll probably be in there. You won't hear much of me in that episode because there's no room for me.
It's probably the most annoying episode we've ever done, you know? Because I probably would not shut up. I don't even want to hear myself gush. I'm sure I was unlivable. But I'll tell you what is livable. This.
Hey,
Oh, look who it is. Brian Dunaway sidling up to the bar with his life ready for us to inspect and fawn over. I don't know what that means. Hello, Brian. How are you?
I don't feel very comfortable with it. Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi. You don't want me to fawn over your life? Is that not what you want?
I don't want to sidle up and then you start touching and looking. No, gross.
I don't even know what sidling is. What is that?
Not because we're two dudes, but because
up kind of thing.
Just kind of rolling on.
Yeah,
up. No,
it's, yeah, you kind of you slide up, right? You slide up. You get a little too close. You break into someone's personal space. Sidling. Hey, sidling. Where'd you come from?
Okay. All right, I believe
unless
you.
You're talking about CSI Las Vegas, and that's just the last name of the character named Sarah.
Whoa, deep cut, actually. That's pretty deep. Yeah. I like that a lot. All right, we're going to play a game.
I liked her a lot. I liked that.
She was awesome. She's still awesome. I don't know what she's up to these days, but she was great. Hey, Brian, why don't you explain the rules of the game we're going to play here with Brian Dunaway today?
Well, okay. Welcome to the Morning Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving the two of you the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers. Three of those answers are correct, and three of them are as much of Dungeon Crawler Carl as I've read so far, non-existent. If you get any wrong, you get 0 points for that round. If you guess one, you get it right, you get a point. Two right gets you 3 points. Three right gets you five. 11 gets you 72. And 19 gets you 436. Wow. But we'll just worry about the first
one.
Player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant, and contestants will be pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Anamiki Kumlega in Baton Rouge.
That sounds real.
I feel okay. Yeah. I feel
is
okay.
It not,
saying,
is it not Amanichi?
Amanichi?
Amanichi? Oh, say it again.
What'd you say? What did you say?
Anamiki Kumlega?
I like how you said it better.
It's spelled with a K.
Oh, it's a K? That's not like Michi then. Yeah, probably. Yeah,
it seemed like it would be a key in there, though.
And I feel totally fine saying that he or she is in Baton Rouge, because there's got to be a lot of people with the same name.
No. It's Baton Rouge.
Get
it right.
Yeah. As David Letterman once said, that means red stick. And then Paul went,
that's right.
Red stick.
That's how they defined it. We're just going to put a red stick in the ground, and that is our, city.
Oprah.
That's right.
Uma, not Oma. Did you say Oma?
I said Uma, Oprah. He was making David.
I thought you said Oma, Oprah.
David Letterman jokes.
All right.
Oma. Oh, my.
Brian, you're going to be playing for Ray McDonald in Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Oh, what an easy name. Ray McDonald, what a great name. How very. Yes.
Yes.
I like it. All right, let's get to this. Let me give you your categories and your first six answers. I'm predicting higher points this time around, because I think there's one of these that you probably will be able to get.
I think you're overestimating.
I think I might be. Races in the Triple Crown. You know, every year they have the horse races, the annual horse races. They're made up of three races.
Sure.
What name those three races in the Triple Crown? Your choices are the Breeders' Cup, the Kentucky Derby, the Belmont Stakes, the Arlington Million, the Preakness Stakes, and the Pacific Classic. Three of those are in the Triple Crown. Three of them are not.
All right, I'm locking in two because I think I'm only right about two. I could be wrong though.
All right,
we're probably guessing the right ones.
Yeah. You both did say Kentucky Derby. That is correct.
Derby, Kentucky Derby. What's a fancy hat? What is that? It's a Derby. You like it?
Gonna join Mid Jill at the Kentucky Derby. You're both correct on that one. Belmont Stakes.
Yeah.
That is also one of them.
Oh.
Breeders'
Cup
Scott.
Is not one of them.
Oh.
The Preakness, the Belmont, and the Kentucky Derby are your three races.
Almost,
good job, Scott.
Almost grabbed Preakness and then held off. Yeah, because I was just like, why am I?
Are y'all not familiar with my race?
You don't know. You're supposed to be into that stuff because you're down south where all the horses race, man.
Yeah, you're a lot closer. How long have you
been podcasting with me? Have I not told you that horses are assholes? Do you think I'm going to watch a bunch of assholes race around? I don't think so.
You really think so? You don't like the horses? You're not into the? You think the?
No. I didn't say I didn't like horses. Don't put words in my mouth.
Someone had a girlfriend who liked horses more than him.
I'm saying horses are assholes. That's what I'm saying.
I like Brian's theory. I like that theory. That's funny.
Well, you know what the real truth is, I was about 7 years, no, about 6 years old, probably. And I rode my first horse, and they didn't tell me exactly how to do it. And so I fell off, and the horse just, you know, he tried to trample me. And then, you know, I've seen horses kick each other in the ribs, and they're just flat out assholes. Like, okay. They can't help it. Right. It's their nature.
No, look, I understand childhood trauma and stuff. That's a big deal. So, did you make it out unscathed though? No long term, other than mental anguish. Did you
just the mental damage? Okay, yeah, the lifelong mental damage.
I understand.
All.
Sure, I get it. No, this is how I feel about certain birds and cats. They're dicks. They're all dicks. So I get it. I feel you.
No.
Not all cats. Some cats.
Not all cats. But all geese. Geese. Yeah. Universally accepted truth is geese. All geese are dicks.
Oh, all geese are dicks. Yeah, there's no question there. But cats, not hashtag not all cats. All right? It's fine.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Let's get to this one right here. Yeah. Original members of the Rolling Stones. You know that band. They just released a brand new album this year. Crazy enough. Your choices are Brian Jones, Ron Wood, John Entwistle, Charlie Watts, Mick Taylor, and Bill Wyman, which three of these are actual original members of the Stones.
Just making up words. You're just making up words.
I'm locking in on the two that just my brain said, hey, Scott, lock on to those. Because there I don't see no Jagger in here. So
I see a Mick Taylor, but not a Jagger. That's what I said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It feels like someone's trying to throw
it. It felt like a thing, right? Yeah.
Pick something, Dunaway.
Was this bothering you a bit?
Watching his dog go on and on and on.
Oh, his dog goes on and on.
It's a nervous habit. No, it's who else is assholes? Brian's are assholes. Horses and Brian. All right. Boom. There.
All right. Let's see here. So, none of you picked the same ones. Very interesting. Scott, you picked Charlie Watts. Yeah, Charlie Watts, who just passed away last year, was.
I knew I should have picked it.
A founding member. I know that's the one that Brian Dunaway's dot was appearing on and off and on.
I felt like it, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Drummer.
Brian, you also picked Brian Jones probably because he's a Brian, right? You thought, oh, well, he's a Brian. That's has to have been to the Rolling Stones.
Duh. Yeah.
Yeah, both of those guys were original members. John Entwistle.
Isn't that the one that died?
No, that's
Brian Jones.
Oh, he did also? Okay.
Yeah. He also died. He died a lot earlier on.
Early.
Right.
John Entwistle also died, but he was a member of The Who and not a member of the Rolling Stones.
Shit.
Bill Wyman, your other member of the Rolling Stones, other original member. Ron Wood, by the way, and Mick Taylor were both members of the Rolling Stones. Ron Wood joined in 1975. Oh. And Mick Taylor joined in 1969.
Because the name is Mick.
Wasn't
Brian Jones the one that drowned in the pool or something? That's some story happened. Yeah. Something.
Is that what happened?
I can't remember.
On vomit, but the jury's out on whether it was his own.
Yeah, or in the pool.
Right.
So wait a minute. So I think the deal is that Keith Richards is slowly sucking the life from these other men who all die.
Just taking life force, basically, is how he does it. He was a member of the Rolling Stones till 74, Mick Taylor.
Okay. So when did we get Mick Jagger? When did that happen?
Oh, he's an original member.
Oh, he's a founder.
Yeah, he's
the OG
didn't use
him.
And continues to be.
Gotcha. Okay. But if he was on here, it'd be too obvious.
That would have been a little too obvious to have.
All right. I thought I was learning something new that he didn't found him or something, which would have.
No,
really
it was originally Jagger, Richards, Brian Jones, Bill Wyman, and Charlie Watts were the original five.
Okay.
The big five.
There you go.
And then they added.
That's a lot of stones.
Ron Wood a little bit later. They Mick Taylor came and went. But during part of their heyday, I mean, it was early on for them.
How many stones you think. The Rolling Stones. How many do you think there are? Like, you know, how much does it cost? How many are there total?
How many total like, Rolling Stones?
Like have come and gone through the band?
Yeah.
Only like seven or eight. They haven't had a ton of.
No, just a seven or eight. Okay.
Maybe 9, 10.
Do you think any of them have ever had kidney stones? And that would be just ironic because the doctors. Oh, of all the things you could have gotten, Mick, you got the stones. How do you feel about that? And he just go.
The doctor looks and says, "Well, I've got some irony for you."
Yeah. We need a good subtle doctor to give him the answer. It's good.
Right. Exactly. All right. Let's get to the last one. We're going to the last question with Brian with 1 point, Scott with 3. So some action needs to happen on this last one. The highest points in their countries. So which of these things have the highest point in the country in which they reside. Your choices are Mount Olympus in Greece, Mount Kilimanjaro in Kenya, Matterhorn in Switzerland, Mount Fuji in Japan, Mount Ararat in Turkey, and Popocatépetl, Mexico.
Oh, I'm sure my Popocatépetl. Gosh. Yeah, some of those old Aztec names, rough.
Exactly. Hard. So three of those are the highest points in their country. Three of them are not.
I'm going conservative since I have the lead, and I'm just going to go with two.
Okay.
I'm probably wrong. I don't know these. Dunaway, pick your shit, will you?
Shut up. I'm looking.
All right.
All right. Both of you locked in. Both of you locked in on the same
two. Oh,
no. Mount Fuji in Japan.
That means I cannot win.
That's right. That's totally true. Mount Fuji in Japan. That's absolutely correct. Yeah, it is the highest point in Japan.
I knew
and
that
Mount
for
Kilimanjaro,
sure.
You know, Toto tells you it's Mount Kilimanjaro rises high above the, like sure. A priestess above the Serengeti.
But not guess high what? Enough.
It's not high enough. There's a mountain bigger than that.
Oh.
Mount Kenya is bigger, is higher than Mount Kilimanjaro. Mount Olympus and Mount Ararat are the two other ones. Greece and Turkey, those are the two highest points in those.
I should have assumed
Greece and Turkey this Thursday.
That's right.
Exactly. There we go. That's why I picked it. Greece and Turkey right there.
I should have picked that Mount Olympus one because, of course, they made this mythical. They made a mythic,
right.
Mythic thing out
exactly.
of a giant.
They're
mountain.
Not going to say, "Well, the gods all live on Mount Olympus," but you know, if they wanted to be higher than that, they'd live on Mount blah blah blah.
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah,
poop.
Right, exactly.
Dang it! All right. Well, is it good? That still means I win.
Woohoo! You do win. Scott wins, which means woo-hoo. Prizes are going to well, that person whose name is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Kumiega. You're getting a copy of XCOM Chimera Squad and Lethal League Blaze.
Oh, awesome. Both don't great games. One. I loved Chimera Squad. It was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
But don't worry, Ray McDonald in Sydney, Nova Scotia. You're getting a great game as well. Atmosphere. But
also
not,
good.
Not the way you think it would be spelled. Atmosphere. So congratulations to both of you and happy Thanksgiving week. You've hopefully got some time off to play those awesome games.
Yeah, at least in Arkansas you did.
Congratulations. You're the winner.
I mean, up there, I don't know. Canada had theirs in October, right? Or whatever they
did. Yeah. They had their
Canada.
Canadian Thanksgiving.
So. You guys could sync up with us. It would be fine. All right. Just that's do right. it. All right, just
you
listen.
You take our Thanksgiving. We'll take your metric system. How's that?
Oh, it's a great trade. I'm in. Yeah. Perfectly willing.
I don't
want
to learn anything. I don't want to learn anything.
I've already learned it, I'm ready. Not. Just switch. Let's go.
I'm voting against this.
The South will rise again, and you will do metric down there.
That's right.
All right?
Look,
congratulations.
How am I supposed to metrically measure something when my foot is 12 inches long and I can walk along and measure things out? I'm not going to go metric. Forget that crap. No.
Do you really have a 12-inch foot? Your feet aren't 12
inches.
You don't
have a 12-inch foot.
You're right. It's 13-inch foot. Well, what you going to do?
You know what they say about big feet?
Yeah.
Big shoes.
Yeah, big shoes and socks that are tight.
When I was growing up, I always had smaller feet, still do, for my height. And so I only wear like a 10.5 to 11. And I'm almost 6'4".
Topsy-turvy.
So I don't know if that means I have a problem, if that means I'm part of the problem. Like, I don't know what the deal is, I don't know.
It seems like it'd be a balance problem. Like, you might not be able to balance very well.
Plus I have the big head that hardly any hats fit. So all the...
You're like, how are you even vertical?
I don't know. I have a high center of gravity. I'm like one of those Suzuki sidekicks. They're going to roll if you just turn barely.
Right.
Anyway.
They're going to find your skeleton one day. They're going to go, how did this thing even stand upright? It didn't.
How did we get
slither across the earth?
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, you're always fun to have on, dude. And I look forward to Wednesday because we'll do this more. Now, here's the thing. We're doing Play Retro this week, but it's going to be on Wednesday like it used to be because of the holiday week and things are all jacked. We can't do it Friday. So we're going to do it on Wednesday, 4:30 Mountain Time. I would really like people to be there for that if you can. And we'll talk more about it on Wednesday when you're here for the feud.
Yeah.
We look forward to it. Is there anything else that you'd like to say to us before we go?
Yeah, I'll be playing South Park tonight on stream, twitch.tv, Brian Dunaway. Do it.
N64, South Park. Thanksgiving game 64. Of the year.
Do it.
Check it. Get it. Bye.
Do it.
Kiss our butts. All right. You can't say anything about it. Because
live it. Learn it.
Yeah. Be it. Solve it. live there. All right. We did that. That means we now do this. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
bourbon-flavored pancake syrup.
Mm. Yeah, Kim made that yesterday, or didn't make it, used it for some for breakfast. We had a little brunch with the kids, and
oh, nice.
And it was, at first, it tasted like a hobo's face.
Hmm. How many hobo's faces have you tasted, Scott?
Only three. Okay. No. I couldn't explain it. It's just it tasted
I'm
like
I'm sure it's not bourbon flavor. I'm sure it's bourbon infused pancake syrup, but the process of boiling the liquid down, the sap down into syrup probably boiled off all the alcohol.
Oh yeah, there's no alcohol in it for sure. Yeah. But it was done in a barrel, like when you make a bourbon in a barrel.
Sure. Gotcha. So the syrup is it's boiled down from the sap and then turned into or then stored in bourbon barrels to get the flavor.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And the very first impression is like, oh, this tastes like a bar. Mm. But then it settles in and it's like, oh, this is actually really nice. So I kind of recommend it. It was very good.
That's cool.
Hootie42 sent something into us, doesn't it though? Yeah. Oh my gosh, pancakes or waffles right now. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Hootie42, who lives near me, sort of ish. Been on the show once or twice. He it's like 40 sort minutes north or Saturday.
No, just like so. sort of ish.
He's got the flu or COVID or something right now, so shout out to him. Hope he's doing okay. But secondarily, he sent us this article, or it was in our Discord. He posted it. Horses get on, we should have left this for Dunaway. He hates horses so much. A horse gets loose on an airplane, forces it to return to the airport. Oh, Lord.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Right?
Oh, wow. You can take a horse on an airplane?
Apparently. Okay. It's a thing you can do. I don't know if it's your service animal, your mental health animal or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
A flight from New York's JFK airport to Belgium had to turn around after a horse got loose in the Boeing 747's cargo hold shortly after takeoff. After takeoff.
Hold. Oh, my God.
So they must be like other animals. They tie them down in there or they put them in a...
Well, smaller animals. I mean, I didn't think you could still do animals in the cargo hold because it gets so cold in there. Yeah. Maybe cats, dogs. I don't know.
That's, I mean, they do claim... I mean, this says they're a cargo plane, so it must be constructed differently than a regular 747.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's a hybrid, but anyway, the incident was reconstructed in the Aviation YouTube channel. You can see the ATC is the name of it, and claims it happened shortly after 6 p.m. Eastern on November 9th. From the looks of the video, the pilot of Air Atlanta Icelandic Flight 4592 reported that there was a loose horsey. I don't know why they call it a horsey, whatever, at about 31,000 feet and requested the 747-400 be allowed to return to New York since the crew couldn't get the noble beast secured. We are a cargo plane. We have a live animal, horse on board the airplane, and the horse managed to escape its stall. We don't have a problem as a flying wise, but we need to return back to New York. A pilot told air traffic controllers in Boston, we cannot get the horse back secured. I think they mean we cannot get the horse
back. Like it got loose.
Yeah. I don't think it's just a weird way to talk. Maybe they're panicking.
Like this whole article has got a weird way to talk, right? Like the loose horsey.
Yeah. It's very weird choices here.
Yeah.
After dumping 20 tons of fuel to get their weight down near Martha's Vineyard at Nantucket, the pilots landed back at JFK about 6:35 p.m. Where do you dump the fuel?
Yeah, where do you dump 20 tons of fuel?
In the air?
But
we're all going to die. That's how. why are we doing that? That's terrible.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, why do you need to dump the fuel to return back to New York to land and get the horse back secured?
Yeah, these are mysteries I don't have answers for.
And what do they do? Like a tranquilizer dart or something? If the thing is loose and kicking around, my gosh!
Holy I can't cow. Imagine this scene. It sounds insane to me.
The whole thing sounds nuts.
Yeah. A horse probably weighs enough to if it. Ran side to side, do you think it would maybe not. Maybe a plane's big enough and stable enough it wouldn't cause like lift or drop or anything. They're not that big, I guess. How heavy is a horse they set up here?
Did they?
No, wait. Oh, maybe they didn't. I thought I read a measurement. Something about I'm just thinking of the fuel, I think. Well, anyway, they requested help from a veterinarian. There's no word on what happened to the animal.
A couple hundred pounds, at least.
Oh, easily, right?
Pounds, like 600-700 pounds.
Yeah, almost. It's got to be near 1,000 pounds.
500? Yeah, I don't know.
I would.
I mean, not half a. Wouldn't weigh like half a car.
Right.
Oh, see, this is where we're like. this is where we're going to get 1,000 emails about.
Yeah, we're takers here. We'll take your emails for this.
Average. Horse way. Let's just take care of this. Yeah, between 900 and 1,200 pounds. Wow, that's crazy. Lot.
That's average? Wow.
Average. Miniature horses, small ponies weigh between 100 and 600 pounds. Draft horses like your Biggies, your Clydesdales, your Belgians, yeah. Percherons, close to 2,000 pounds, 1,800 pounds.
Damn, that is about what a small car would be.
Yeah, yeah, like a Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never thought of that before.
How much does a Mini Cooper weigh?
Look it up, dude.
Let's see here. Yeah, 2,712 to 3,144 pounds on average. So
right.
Way more than I was expecting, closer to 2,000. It's more. It's around 3,000 pounds for a Mini Cooper.
I like those cars. I would drive
I do,
one.
Too.
Let's see. They got help from this vet. They don't know what happened after that, but it said, the pilot said, on the ramp, yes, we have a horse in problem, in difficulty. What is wrong with this? There's something wrong with the pilot.
Totally.
What? Yeah. He can't make a straight sentence.
A horse in problem, in difficulty.
Yeah.
I'm an AI pilot.
AI pilot. That's what it is. My name is Siri, and I'm trying to land this plane. He says other things like, listen, all
United
things
Flight 703.
We cannot get the horse back secured. These are all actual lines. That guy's weird. That pilot's weird. Yeah. Yeah. All right, moving on to this story. I don't know why that makes me laugh. I'm on a mission to have, I have to complete, says a man who is accused of trying to break into residential homes. Masturbating on porches, tells a judge he must continue. All right,
sure,
this guy's trouble.
He could be a time traveler, and there could be a logical reason he has to do this. He's on a mission, and he can't tell you what that mission is.
No
Yeah,
just like when they say, oh, the world, the rapture could be tomorrow, and you're like, yeah, it could be
right, exactly,
100 years from now. What are you talking about?
I need to impregnate as many of your porch swings as possible.
A 60-year-old Michigan man. Oops. That'd be funny. Old man, Michigan funny. Man.
I don't think he could get his arm. Like, his arms are so bulky, I don't think he could touch his junk, let alone.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
How does a Michelin man, you know?
Michelin man doesn't wear pants, does he?
No.
Like, is he?
He's all rolls, man. All rolls.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got a.
How does the Michelin man pee?
How does the Michelin man procreate or pee or otherwise?
He does. He does wear one article of clothing. Do you remember what the Michelin man wears for clothing?
Really? Hold on. Okay, so I can only picture the 1920s one, and he was just rolls and rolls and rolls. So let me think.
He was just flat out naked. But the
probably has like a little cod piece looking thing.
Yeah. Nope. He has a sash.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wears a sash that says Michelin.
Like all, like down over his.
Yeah, Chris, shoulder to waist sash, like
what?
Miss America.
I can't picture this. That's weird me out.
A link.
Yeah, send me something. I can't.
Sure. Here he goes, right here on the.
Oh, he does wear a sash. The only item of clothing he has on is a sash.
That's right. Exactly.
I don't know what I was. Where have I been?
Well, the old one didn't.
I guess he didn't. Oh, yeah, no, there are ones where it's naked. There, you know.
Yeah, check out the old.
The old one is something, man. Like
the 1898 one looks like the creature that's trying to eat Mr. Fantastic on that first issue of the Fantastic Four. He's coming up out of the ground, grabbing the trying to grab the Human Torch.
Yeah, dude, that's great. Yeah, he's gone through some iterations, it looks like. Oh, I really don't like the early one. Man, that guy's creepy, dude.
1910's a little bizarre, too. Like,
yeah.
Who looked at this and said, we need somebody to represent our tire? I know. How about a guy who looks like he's made of marshmallows that have been squished?
Yeah, it's kind of effed. There's nothing about it that reminds me
of
tire.
Are they supposed to be treads? Are they supposed to be...
Rubber
derivative
tires?
Of tires?
I don't know. Maybe it's the tube inside the tires? I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. It's
More Martian.
I really would be curious as to know why the Michelin Man looks the way he does. What's the... Oh, I guess he does wear shoes. I'm looking at it right now. Those are laces. So he wears a sash and shoes.
Okay.
But other than that, he's just flat out bare-ass naked.
He's just bare-ass naked from...
I'd be curious. Are there any pictures of him from behind? Does he have butt cheeks?
What? Hold on.
I want to see. I want to see if there's pictures of him from behind.
Man, behind... Is this even going to come up, or am I going to get a weird search result? Oh, he's never turned around.
No. He manages to always know where the cameras are and face forward.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
I would really like to see the hindquarters of the Michelin Man.
Does the Michelin Man have butt cheeks? Because I really wanted to know.
Somebody did it like the... It's like almost like a Pokemon. Check this out.
Evolution
kind of thing? Yeah. Let me give you this. This is great. You'll probably guess as to which three things they use.
Oh, I could have guessed that. That's hilarious. Yeah. You Pillsbury Doughboy then evolves into the Michelin Man, then into the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah. They're all kind of cut from the same cheese. It
is. Oh, for sure. Like that is a legit Pokemon evolution.
Now, instead of a sash, this Michelin Man's wearing like a scarf, like it's wintertime, winter tires.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
that's weird. Oh, yeah. There's another one of him wearing that same, really weird, like same.
He's wearing Crocs.
Yeah. Here, check this out. Like, here's him doing some sort of like Buddha pose or something.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Yeah. Look at this. He's very zen. Look at this, guys.
Yeah. So hold on a second. Okay. Here we go. Most would agree that the Michelin Man is white and bulbous, but determining just what material our smiling French giant is made from a little tougher. Some say that, like his long-lost brother Stay Puft, the Michelin Man is 100% marshmallow. Others would hedge their bets on rubber, specifically bunches of tires, a logical and likely correct assumption. He could be made from puffy white clouds of chewy nougat candy. Still, that snowman on steroids theory is mighty compelling.
I kind of want to make one, a costume, and then use like duct tape to create the creases or something. And
those are rubber bands or something. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's already been done. Brian, look at this.
Somebody's made the.
You got to see this.
All right, give me.
Because somebody, I'll say they tried. I won't say they succeeded. I think succeeded is wrong. There you go.
Oh, no, that's hilarious. That is officially the sweeted Michelin Man.
Yep. Totally sweeted.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that term. Since that came up on the on FilmSac, it's all I can think about with stuff.
We do need to watch Be Kind Rewind. I don't know if it's FilmSackable, but
I've never seen it. I need to see it.
Really bad Michelin Man costumes out there.
Oh, they're terrible. Oh, that one, that's horrible.
It's horrible.
What's going on here, Chad? Look at this one Brian sent. Horrific. That guy's anyway, stoked Michelin, to be taking that picture. Look at he's excited. He's a fan. All right. Well, anyway. Oh yeah, I should get to the story here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Tell me about the man. This has nothing to do with Michelin Man.
No, nothing at all. We just talked about Michigan messed up the name and then went on this path. Yeah. He's a man with a history of sex related crimes, is facing a possible life sentence after he was caught on surveillance cameras attempting to break into several homes in residential areas and masturbating outside at least one of them. Scott Allen Schultz, who did himself no favors when he interrupted a judge during his first court appearance this week to seemingly defend his actions, was taken into custody on Thursday and charged with three counts of first-degree attempted home invasion and one count of indecent exposure. Here's what he says, if I can find it. There's a quote. He basically said to the judge, here it is. No, where's his quote? They say he made this comment
on their Wang doorbells, doorbell cams.
Nice. Oh, here he is. Your Honor, if I can interrupt you, I'm on a mission I have to complete by year's end. And the mission is to go do this at every house.
Oh, really? But there's no, like, if I don't. .. If I don't complete my mission, here's what's going
to
happen.
No. And that sucks. You need to give me more, dude. This guy needs to give me more. Look at him. He looks like someone I would not want to be around for more than a second.
Well, and that's even before you know what he does?
Yeah. There's something about him. There's two photos. One in that room with the cops standing around on the camera.
Oh,
and then one
gosh,
of him.
Yeah.
One of him.
That's
and
a guy. That's a guy who definitely has a manifesto.
Yeah, he's got a manifesto.
He has written at least one manifesto,
and it involves him jerking it on your porch.
Yeah,
fantastic. I guess that's better than shooting a bunch of people. So stay away from me. Yeah. You know? Let's move on to this one.
It's true.
Woman convicted of murdering friend with poisoned eye drops and stealing $300,000. Jeez.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
This is gnarly. A woman in Waukesha County?
Waukesha.
In Minnesota, don't you know, has been found guilty of poisoning her beautification. Her beautician. What am I saying?
You wanted way more syllables added to that thing.
Yeah, with eye drops.
Okay, so Waukesha County is in Minnesota. I thought Waukesha, the city is in Wisconsin, I thought.
It almost sounds like a Wisconsin name to me.
Yeah.
I've never been, but closest I've been, or anywhere I've been in Wisconsin was, what did I do there? I saw a baseball game. I saw the Brewers play. That's what it was. Back when they were the Brewers. Jesse Kirkowski, age 39, has been on trial for murder in connection with the death of her friend, 62-year-old Lynn Herman. The court adjourned on Wednesday, deliberated for nearly 4 hours, and found the defendant guilty on one charge of first-degree intentional homicide and two counts of theft of movable property. It's a weird one. For more than $10,000, but less than $100,000. She stole nearly $300,000 from the beautician. What's weird is none of this explains how she poisoned her with eye drops. Like, you go to your beautician to get your hair done.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
She's got a glass of water on the counter. You drop a few drops of eye drops.
Oh, I thought it was like, here, use these. They'll help your eyes. And then she...
No, I don't think she poisoned her eye drops. I think she poisoned her water with eye drops. But I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. That's... Okay. Oh, there she is crying. There's a photo of her. She was sobbing as the verdict was read aloud by Judge Jennifer Darrow. She faces a maximum life sentence, imprisonment for homicide, and an additional 10 years for all the theft charges. Wow. This case.
Race 86 corrects us. It's pronounced Waukadalarha.
Waukadalarha. Okay.
Waukadalarha.
I think, great. It depends on what phase the city is in. But
that's right, exactly.
As a result, the medical examiner concluded that Ms. Herman's manner of death was homicide by the poisoned eye drops. Oh, you're right. Here it is. Officials initially thought the victim had overdosed on medication. They reported that the victim had a fatal dose of tetrahydrazoline in her system, which is the main ingredient in eye drops. Really? I could just put eye drops, regular eye drops, in a drink and it would be poisonous?
If it's got that as an active ingredient, yeah.
But what? Like, why
your,
is it not
her? Not your re-wet, you know, wetness, eye moisture stuff, but like the...
Oh, like prescriptions.
Like medicated eye drops and stuff, yeah.
Well, but then...
I think your Visine, I think, has got that stuff in it.
So if I'm using Visine or even a prescription level stuff of that and I'm putting that in my eye, why is that it's not poisoning me through my eyes, I wonder? Because it's still going into your system.
Just because how much you take.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's all it is. Just tiny drops don't do anything. Huh.
Let's see. Snopes. A few drops of Visine brand eye drops taken internally will induce uncontrollable diarrhea. This is false. But there is like a...
confirm. didn't happen to me.
Can confirm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tetrahydrozoline. Swallowing this substance can result in a number of nasty effects, including lowering body temperature to dangerous levels, making breathing difficult or even halting it entirely, blurring vision, causing nausea and vomiting, elevating and then dropping blood pressure, seizures, tremors, or sending the ingester into a coma.
Damn.
Yeah. But put in your eyes. Totally fine. Just put in your eye.
That makes me never want to put stuff in my eyes again.
Right? Exactly. Maybe I'll live with the red. Maybe I don't need to get the red out.
Somebody call Putin. We got a new idea for him when he hasn't.
But there you go. Yeah. But it's, it all depends on the amount. Like I imagine if you put a ton of Visine in your eye, like, you know, squeeze a whole bottle in your eye, probably will have some of these things because you are taking this stuff internally. You're not swallowing it, but you're still taking internally.
Yeah. And your eyes are very closely connected to your sinus ducts, and those go into your throat sometimes. When I had my surgeries done, they gave me an antibiotic that I had to take for a week or something while I was healing, and I would take that stuff and immediately taste it in my throat. As soon as I dropped it in, and about maybe a 2 seconds later, I could feel that stuff in here. Whereas I don't, with just like a saline, you don't taste it, right? Because it's saline.
Right.
But this stuff tasted horrible. And I called the doctor and I said, is it normal that I'm like tasting this? When they're like, oh, yeah, your eye, your eye sockets are like connected to all that in there.
Yeah.
So it's the reason people get like throat and nose problems. They catch those viruses through their eyes. So I learned a lot that day. Thanks, Dr. Eyeball. That is going to do it for us for now. We're going to take a break and talk to our friend Major Spoiler's own Steven Schleicher after this break, because that'll be fun. We always like catching up with him. It's his time of the month.
Yeah.
So we're going to make that happen. Before that, though, Brian here is going to express his feelings and thoughts about a song he's chosen.
I am. And you know what? This one, I usually don't do this, but this one I heard this morning as I was going through the songs that we need to go for the show. And this one just hit me right today. And it's not a song I typically would play on TMS, but it just, whatever reason, just connected with me. It's a guy named Bones Owens, and he's got a brand new album coming out December 1st, courtesy of 30 Tigers Records. Sincere storytelling and evocative lyricism permeate the delicate and vulnerable six-song EP, his most heartfelt and distinctive release to date. This song, I don't know about all that, but I do know that this song just did me right this morning. The song is the title track. It's called 18 Wheeler. Here is Bones Owens.
Got a half a mind to say now, what's going on inside my brain now? You were only always all I wanted. There were times when I was distant, but you stayed on my mind, so listen. You were only always all I wanted. I get an 18-wheeler coming down the mountain. I love you when there ain't no stopping me now. Once you get it started, you can't turn it around. Cup of coffee before I leave you. Couple months until I see you. You were only always all I wanted. I'll be taillights on the highway, even if it all goes sideways. You were only always all I wanted.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quack, 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 quack. Quack, 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 quack. Quack, 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 quack.
Hola.
And we're back. Who was that again?
Sure. That's Bones Owens from his brand new album called 18, I'm sorry, brand new EP called 18 Wheeler. That is the title track. Get the whole album in 2 weeks. Two weeks. December 1st, right. Courtesy of 30 Tigers Records.
That's a crow, by the way, this right here.
Hola.
Oh, man. Crows. Parrots freak me out because they talk a lot and you can train them to say almost anything.
Sure.
Birds
sure.
are way too smart and they're crazy to me and birds freak me out. But crows speaking Spanish
hola.
With that hola.
That's crazy. Hola. That is
hola.
Oh my gosh, dude.
That is absolutely insane.
Gives me the willies. You ever seen that video of that crow figuring out that the glass of water he wants to drink is too low for his beak, so he puts stones into it until displacement pushes the water up higher and then he can drink it? Have you ever seen that?
It's amazing. I've heard of it. There's a video of it. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Those birds.
Hola.
Hola. Hola.
Hola.
All right.
By the way, unrelated to anything, obviously the actor's strike just ended, but I just got to the episode of Moonlighting that took place during the 80s, late 80s actor or writer's strike.
Yeah.
And the end of the season episode, season four episode, season finale, they Maddie comes out. Maddie and David do their fourth wall breaking and say, "Well, writer strike is going on." And they walk past a bunch of writers sitting at their desks holding the signs saying, "We're on strike."
Yeah.
And basically say, "We've got 5 minutes left, so we're just going to have Herbert Viola lip sync Woolly Bully."
Really?
By Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. Yeah. So that's what
wow.
they did. They just. Yeah,
that is fourth wall as hell right there. Breaking.
It's fourth wall as hell, and it is the most uncomfortable 4 or 5 minutes you're going to see on that on that show.
That's unfortunate.
At least until the next episode, which is Maddie's miscarriage, which is
very uncomfortable.
I had forgotten about.
Well, good luck with the rest of that.
Exactly. Last season, just a few episodes left. Thank God.
Let's do this thing.
And now, welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Hey, Steven. Dollar bills. You know how it is. What's up? How are you? What are you doing? Ooh.
Ooh.
Do you hear that? Yep. Your audio's janko. Hold on.
It's like you're a ghost from the future.
It's very quiet and also really... Oh, that guy's coming back. And then we'll see how that goes. All right. So it should be... Oh, here he's coming back. I hear him. I feel him. There he is. Hi. Oh, still really quiet. That's
how
weird.
About now?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's it. There it is.
That's the guy we know. Nah, you're perfect. Perfect.
Oh, yeah, you sound great.
Yeah, whatever Thank happened you. There was a temporary glitch in this matrix, and you're fine now. So welcome back. Steven, well, sorry, what were you saying? You were saying something.
Oh, I said you need dollar bills. I need dollar bills. We all need dollar bills.
We all need dollar bills, right? That's a
dollar bills.
I hate that we do, but we do. We all need them.
I don't know. Do we, though? I certainly, I've had a 20 in my wallet for like months that I haven't needed to actually spend because why use cash?
Yeah.
My address is 123 Any Street. Brian.
Is it now? Is it? Any town USA?
Any town USA. I could sure use that.
Code 12345
Yeah. I still have a $5 bill in my wallet that I had on the cruise, like in 2022.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that nuts?
It's weird that we just don't spend cash anymore. It's funky.
Yeah.
I guess that's just the modern life
we're
living.
Don't spend. Well, you guys use credit and debit cards. That's how the government tracks you.
I know they do, but I'm already. I'm well tracked, man. I've given up. It's for the next generation to fight that. I can't do it.
Let them know that I had a Dave single at Wendy's. I'm fine with that.
As long as I'm not, you know, I'm not in some corner of the dark web buying guns or something. They're not going to get me for my burger purchase. Anyway, it's good to have you here.
We can go down to the conspiracy hole another time. But
yeah, there's always an option for it. There's always money in the banana stand. But here today, it's time for major spoilers and some talk about some stuff going on. Let's talk about Madam Web. I have to make an admission here. You may have seen me post this in places, but right up until the day that trailer landed, I didn't know who that. I'd never heard of Madam Web. I knew this must be Sony owning more Spider-Man adjacent rights, so it must be in that vein of Venom.
They
and
own
else.
All the Spider-Man and Spider-Man adjacent rights. Madam Web first appeared in like 1980 in the comic book series. She was definitely in that 1990s cartoon series that everybody loves. Yeah. If you've ever read Nothing Can Stop the Juggernaut, she is the inciting incident for that. Where Madam Web she's a clairvoyant. And so there's this guy, I forget what his name is, sends the Juggernaut to get Madam Web because he thinks that her precog abilities are going to help him defeat the X-Men. Mm-hmm. And so Spider-Man is there in the way of the Juggernaut. And so, that's her deal.
Wow. All right.
And she looks like Aunt May, but she's not Aunt May. Like Romita only knew how to draw one type of old lady. Yeah. And they all look like Aunt May.
So Agatha Harkness, Madam Web.
Right, exactly.
So this is now Dakota Johnson is Madam Web then? Is But who's this spider-like man that's in it?
Isn't that Tarantula? Like the villain Tarantula?
Is it?
I'm assuming.
No, I forget who it is, but there's been some talk of him. I completely.
So they haven't said who he is.
No, but he's somebody in the. He's a known villain in the Spider-Man.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Okay.
They have said who he is, and it's not. Aranya. No, that's never. Somebody else.
Let's see.
That's black suited.
Is it Ezekiel? Is that the name?
Ezekiel Sims. There we go. Yes, yeah. Ezekiel Sims.
Based on the 2004 storyline, The Book of Ezekiel.
Okay. Oh, okay. So
why is Ezekiel then in a spider looking costume?
Because Sony owns all the Spider-Man stuff.
Geez.
And they want to make sure that people understand that this is a Spider-Man book or a Spider-Man movie.
And is it also true that Adam Scott's character is supposed to be Uncle Ben, but it's prior Uncle Ben? There's some rumor floating around that's young Uncle Ben.
Oh, so this is
going to
be like way early, pre Spider-Man.
The reason the hint is going around, well, it's a couple of reasons. One, I think people just like that idea, but two, everyone's using CRT monitors and it looks like 90s, early 90s or something. So the idea is like, Adam Scott just doesn't, he's just not old enough to be Uncle Ben yet or whatever. But I don't know enough about this series or enough about this character. I never heard of it until the other day. So
I think I think that's the way it is with a lot of people. And that's okay. People are, I'm sure, are regretting ever learning who Morbius was or maybe Kraven. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
When's that Kraven thing coming out? That's soon.
That's also coming out next year. Yeah.
Next year, yeah.
So what's Sydney Sweeney doing? She's in this. She's up and coming.
You know, she's got talent.
She sure does.
She is one of the people that Cassie Webb has to protect with her precog Final Destination Happy Death Day abilities.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I'm in the mood for any of what you just said. You know?
I know.
It's like see the future stuff? I hate those. I'm not into it.
You haven't seen either of the Venom movies yet, have you?
No, I still haven't, which is weird. Because I love Tom Hardy. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why I'm slow to see those.
One. It's not bad.
Yeah. I think I like the idea. When I heard Woody was going to be
Carnage.
I got excited. Did that not work out or was it okay?
He's all right.
No, he was in the movie. Yeah.
All right. Wow. That is a rousing endorsement that you've just given.
You know, he's slightly better than Paul Giamatti as the Rhino. Let's put it.
That's the level we're at. Okay. I can deal with it. I should probably watch those, yeah. But yeah, I feel like Sony.
Watch Parasite first.
Okay, you know what? That's the deal. I'll see Parasite before I see Venom. How's that? That's movement, Brian. That's forward movement.
That is forward movement. I don't know. I mean, basically, you're just stacking things in the forever times.
One of these days, I'm just shock you guys. I'm going to watch it on a Sunday night. I'm going to show up on a Monday show, and you're all going to be what? Wait,
there
what?
Yeah.
End of an era is what it'll be.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, look forward to that in 2024.
It's like, so here's the thing though, right? I mean, with all of the movies being pushed back, Sony is the only one technically releasing Marvel movies next year.
Well, yeah. Deadpool is.
That's been pushed to 2025 too.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I thought that was still in. Hold on a second. I thought that was still in.
Unless 2024. Oh no, I guess it is 2024. I guess.
Yeah, yeah. That one's still showing up
I
in
thought
2024.
They had moved that to 2025, but. Hmm. Yeah, there's not
July
a.
July 26th is the expected release date.
Of which one? Sorry.
Deadpool 3.
Deadpool 3, and when's Thunderbolts? Do we have? Did they get pushed?
2025.
2025.
Yeah.
Boom!
Yeah.
That one I was looking for.
Yeah, all of your Marvel movies that you thought were coming out in 2024, moving to 2025, which may be a good thing. I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, I guess we could, even though Disney owns 20th Century Fox, Deadpool is technically not a Marvel Studios movie still. So,
Is it? Well, it's a combo, like a
it's kind of like the Sony deal with the
exactly
thing. So but at least we'll get to see some Hugh Jackman first introduction of an X-Men into the quote-unquote Marvel universe.
That's true.
Yep. So Deadpool 3 end of July, then Kraven the Hunter end of August.
Ugh.
And this doesn't count all the TV stuff. The next MCU film proper is Captain America: New World Order on February 14th, 2025.
Jeez, what a weird! But they really got
Thunderbolts in July.
They really got the bummer end of this hammer.
I honestly think that you're gonna see. I know they want to push all these movies to 2025. I think you're going to see one or two of those movies actually get released in 2024. And then I think that we're going to see Marvel kind of say, maybe we don't need three or four movies a year. Maybe one or two movies a year is all we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially after the
one
Marvels.
One or two movies a year and two or three TV series would be great. Because we get Echo. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're getting What If next month.
Yeah. Right.
Presumably.
Yeah. Right.
We're getting Echo early in January.
January.
Yep.
We're getting, Madam Web, I didn't say was February 14th. We're getting X-Men 97 sometime, first quarter.
Yep.
We're getting Agatha Harkness, Coven of Chaos or Darkhold Diaries, fall of next year.
Fall of next year, is that right? Yeah.
And then Daredevil Born Again early 2025.
Yeah. So there's stuff.
And that one's even all messed up, so who knows
if we get
that date. So.
It's, as long as they, you know, as long as they figure their crap out. Did you see the Marvels, by the way?
I did not. I haven't had a chance. And as I've said before.
So you're responsible for their low box office.
No, I seriously want to. I was going to go see it the first weekend, but then we had some family things to do. And then this past weekend, I was like, well, I need to rake the yard before it rains and snows.
Yeah.
And so I spent all that time. Plus, I've said I hate our AMC theater. With a passion.
Oh yeah.
And so the less money I can give to AMC, the better.
Yeah,
for sure.
But yes, I am part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, no. And the problem, what's irritating me is that it's such a better movie than the critic scores are.
Yeah. Are well, I kind of got into it with a couple critics last week.
Did you? Tell us about your battle royale.
I called out somebody for their misogynistic comments and reviews about the Marvels, and they sent their comic gator alt-right people after me. So,
oh, wonderful. No, really?
Wonderful. Yeah. They're the best, those comic gate people. Oh, man.
Yeah. So it was...
they're wonderful human beings, them.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so I'm not too worried about it, but it was like, it's like, hey, you know, when you say what you said, I'm going to call it out. So
for sure.
Yeah. Exactly. Why not?
You know what they say when you fight a pig, you both get muddy and the pig enjoys it or something. There's something like that.
Oh, there that's what it is. Yep. Yeah. If you pick a fight with a pig, you both get dirty and the pig loves it.
Yeah, I like the Mark Twain, never fight with an idiot because they'll always drag you down to their level and beat you.
That's a good one, too.
But, you know, I have heard nothing from the people who have gone to see the Marvels. I have heard nothing but good things about it. It's not a deep movie. It is a fun movie. It's a wacky movie. And there's nothing wrong with a wacky superhero movie. Nothing
at all.
Not everything has to be dark and brooding.
I agree.
And holy cow, I mean, Iman Vellani... Just put her in everything. I won't say anything more there, but she is delightful. She you get so much character development from her. You get character development from Teyana Paris, Brie Larson, like all three of them, you finally get some answers and some definition as to who they are and why they do what they do, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
We've got some family coming into town this week, so I'm gonna see if I can't wrangle up some of those kids and take them
to somewhere other than AMC.
Right? Yeah, which is hard because that's all we have around here.
Yeah,
sucks. I want to go put a new theater in Hayes, Kansas, just because I know I can do better than AMC.
Yeah,
the O'Brien's Theater, movie a week, but you'll get treated like you
actually want to be here. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. We'll get treated like we're happy to have you as a customer.
Some other interesting news. Everyone's talking about the new season of Invincible being very good.
Yeah.
And a big jump from this first season in terms of like some shock value in a few cases. But Omni-Man is in everybody's mind. And so guess what? He's a DLC downloadable character for Mortal Kombat 1 and Fortnite. Now, the reason I mentioned MK1 is because it's actually voiced by J. Jonah Jameson's own J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
He also does the cartoon, of course. And I just wanted to play a couple of these intros from MK. So these are just like the chatter from the game. They're just fun to hear. So listen to these.
What is an alternate me doing here? Does the name Angstrom Levy mean something to you?
There's another
Martian man. Is that you? No. This is more fucked up than that.
Whoa. Hello. Hello.
That one.
Anyway, he's in Fortnite, and the kids can play with Omni-Man, who's a terrible person.
Not only Omni-Man, but Mark Grayson, Invincible, and Adam Eve will also be in Fortnite.
Oh, that's cool.
Well.
I was wondering if they were going to bring anybody else in. The Wraith 86 asks the question that's on my mind, which is, isn't Omni-Man a little overpowered for both of those? Like,
Sure.
Oh, yeah. He definitely is. It's like when they did Batman or... what was that called? The Justice League versus Mortal Kombat or whatever it was. Awesome game. 360 PS3 era game. But it made no sense because Superman should be able to sweep the floor with every single character in there.
Yeah.
And didn't. And they had some weird reason why. It was like total hand wavy.
There was a kryptonite factory nearby was spewing fumes into the air and kind of weakening Superman a little bit.
It was something dumb like that. And probably in this case, it's very similar. Like you shouldn't. Yeah. Omni-Man would. The whole point of Omni-Man is he's got too much power. And but he's popular. People like him. So there he is.
Oh, sure. And I mean, he can be eventually taken down. It's going to take him time to recuperate and get better. But there you go. And of course, I really like that Fortnite, even though I don't play it because I'm no good at it. Even though I don't play Fortnite, I really give them a big applause for being able to bring in all of these properties, whether it's DC or Marvel or some crazy movie or, the Invincible characters. And it actually kind of works in the gameplay to where everyone can have fun. And I know my kids get excited about it. Like when Thanos appeared and you could get the Infinity Gauntlet. And so it was like, I got the Infinity Gauntlet, snap, and half the characters instantly disappear off the field. I mean, those kinds of things
are
fun.
Great.
So yeah, I wonder if I don't know enough about how Omni-Man is going to be into this game. If it is a character that you can select or if it's a random character, like when you do get to become Thanos or something like that.
Yeah.
The downside is, of course, these characters are only there for a limited time.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're going to be playable 6 months from now. So as soon as they drop, get in there and play to your heart's content.
The art for the next thing we're going to talk about, Ghostbusters Back in Town, the Dark Horse Comics take on the film or the film series, because these characters are right there on the cover. One of those looks like Drew Struzan did it. Am I just smoking crack about that? Because that is his style.
It looks that way, but I don't think that that is who it is.
Okay, because that guy is hard. It's hard to dupe, but when I see it, let's see. Let me look at this link. Yeah, the not final art one. I swear that was a Drew Struzan drawing painting. But anyway, what are we looking forward to with this? Is this going to be the movie or less than the movie, or what's the deal?
Well, it's the continuation of Ghostbusters Afterlife, right? So everyone has probably seen Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, the upcoming movie, which I think some people are very excited about.
Yeah.
But you may be wondering, how did the Spengler family get from wherever the heck they were in North Dakota or whatever back to New York? And so this Ghostbusters back in town is that story of them coming back to New York and starting up the Ghostbusters franchise again at the family headquarters, at the family HQ. So, as we've seen in the upcoming movie, we'll have all of the original Ghostbusters who are still alive back, as well as the characters from Afterlife. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see a few more people pop up. But if you're wanting to know what is the story about them moving from, middle of nowhere to back to New York, this is the comic book series that'll do this. 4-issue miniseries. It kicks off in March of 2024.
Okay. It's a little connective tissue between films and all that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Has there ever been any talk of Sigourney Weaver wandering back into this a little bit, or no? Is she not?
She was in Afterlife.
Oh, I missed Afterlife. Okay. I still haven't seen it.
You need to see Afterlife, Scott.
You haven't seen Afterlife? Yeah. I definitely see it before Parasite.
I didn't know she was in that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, and don't turn off the credits before the movie's actually done.
Yeah, so, that's right. Where you get the Ray stuff, I think.
That's where Sigourney Weaver shows up.
Oh, that's where she is? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Spoiler alert for people who haven't seen Afterlife yet.
Yeah.
I know Afterlife.
I would even say see Afterlife before you watch Parasite or Venom.
Really? Yeah, wow. Yeah, all right. Yeah. You're even bumping Parasite for this. Okay.
I'll bump Parasite for this. Well, because I know Afterlife has a better chance of happening than Parasite.
There are way less subtitles in Afterlife, it turns
out.
Brian, let me ask you a question real quick. You've seen Afterlife. So would you say it's more of a real Ghostbusters, or not the real Ghostbusters? Yeah, the real Ghostbusters. I forget, the cartoon series.
Right,
It feels like a story that has really developed out of that series more than anything else.
Oh, funny. I didn't think about that, but yeah, kind of, right? With the kids being involved and that sort of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that one had more of a connection to the original characters, right? Than the other cartoon.
For sure. Than the Answer the Call movie, for sure. Yeah. Cause that one's out of canon. Cause, Stance and Spangler and everybody appear, but not as themselves. Like Bill Murray and Adam or, Dan Aykroyd all appear as somebody else.
Man, I'll say it again just real quick. This is just a life statement. I know he's a little crazy in real life, but I could watch Dan Aykroyd eat paint. I love that.
What a weird I could watch Dan Aykroyd drink Visine.
I mean,
why eat paint?
I don't know why.
I just popped into my head. Dan Aykroyd drink from the Bassomatic.
I mean, I'm in the mood.
That's far better. Yes, I can watch Dan Aykroyd cut his fingers off as Julia Child.
I'll do unthinkable things like watch The Great Outdoors again, just because he's in it. I hate The Great Outdoors. Yeah. It's a horrible movie, but I could watch
Dan Aykroyd consume mass quantities.
That's right. I want to go see Gross Point Blank four times in a row. That's what I really want to do, because Grossman is the greatest villain.
Yeah, John Cusack's coming back. So a few years ago, Tina and I went to a live viewing of Gross Point Blank with John Cusack, and then he did Q&A afterwards and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He's coming back in a few months to do Say Anything.
Mm-hmm. And, I got an email on that.
I wouldn't mind seeing him again. He is, God, what an affable guy. Just the nicest dude, seems like.
Sure seems like it. And he can hold a boombox over his head like nobody's freaking business.
Like how many hours do you have to hold that playing Fishbone's, what Fishbone song was it? Lioness Bitch or something? I can't remember. And then they said, maybe we'll use we'll use In Your Eyes instead. Yeah,
that's good that they did. I think
thank God, yes.
The proper choice. Such a great scene. Anyway, well, there you have it. That's all she wrote today. Steven, is there anything else going on your site over there at majorspoilers.com that people should be looking forward to?
No, we're kind of slowing things down this week because of Thanksgiving. But, you know, normally I would sign off by saying, hey, stay hydrated. But this week I'm going to ask everybody, if you have the means, please go to your local food bank and make a contribution, either through a monetary contribution or through a donation.
Yeah.
And food banks are really looking for things like peanut butter, canned soup, canned fruit, canned vegetables, a lot of canned things, stews, fishes, beans, pasta, whole grain of variety. They like those. And if you are taking in canned goods, see if you can get the canned goods that have the pop top and that don't require a can opener for them. I'm a big proponent of food banks and what they can do for local communities. So if you can go and help out your local food bank, especially between now and the end of the year, that would be great. This is the time of year when most of their food stores are at the lowest, and I know that they are always welcoming contributions from the community.
Yeah, food banks are awesome. They're the definition of rubber meets road on actually helping people. Like, they're right there, like at the point of contact. Whereas a lot of charities, you're like, well, I gave them $20. I don't know where it goes from here, how it trickles over to what I was actually paying for. Like, it's hard to know. But with food banks, you literally take stuff there, you plop it down, and while you're doing it, you see people leaving over to a place to take it to a soup kitchen or take it to families that need it or some kind of church-run thing or whatever. You love to see it. It's like real on-the-ground helping people. So go do it. Great suggestion.
Yeah. And if you're curious as to what your local food bank needs, just give them a call and say, hey, what do you need? You know, like surprisingly, like the Manwich stuff is always in high demand.
Right.
You know, diapers and feminine hygiene products are always in demand. So just call your local food bank. They'll be more than happy to accept your donations.
And while you do it, stay hydrated. Bye.
Wow.
Real quick, someone in the chat said, Sean Bloom says, what about Nothing But Trouble? No, I won't watch that. That movie would be really bad.
Yeah, that one maybe I can avoid. But Spies Like Us, Matuba, any day
any
of the
day.
Week, I will watch that movie.
No problem.
And doesn't hurt that you got Donna Dixon in there, too.
Walking around with her undies out.
His future wife, or I don't know if they were dating at the time or whatever.
They stay together? They're still a thing? Do we know?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
I wonder if there's something.
At some point, we need to watch Dr. Detroit.
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
I've never seen it, and I just knew it from
I have. It's great.
Devo
You'll
song.
Love it.
Yeah,
yeah, it's real good. He is currently married to.
There we go,
Donna
Still
Dixon.
Still married to Donna Dixon.
Oh, they separated last year.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, she finally had enough of
really his, after all this time. That's kind of
that's a long crazy. Time. 83 to 2022. That's a big run. How many years is that? That's 54. I don't know what it is. It's something. I don't know what happened there. I just love him. I you know what? He drove me nuts on SNL, though. It was the one character I didn't like watching. Yeah, I don't know what it was. There was something too manic about him. Something. I can't explain it, but when I was a kid, he just sort of rubbed me wrong. But since then, and the older he got, like a fine wine, man. Just got better and better.
39 years is what I would equate that. So 83 to 22, you take the 22, you add 100 minus 83, you get 17, you get 39.
I also,
years they were together.
You knew this, I'm sure. I didn't know I knew it was somehow based around the Blues Brothers, but I didn't know House of Blues, the music venues, House of Blues menus, things was he co-founded those. I didn't know that.
He did. I knew he co-founded those. I guess, do you think it was because Blues Brothers or just because
I thought
the blues
I figured that was the reason, I assumed. Let's see. American chain of live concert halls and restaurants founded by Isaac Tigret and co-founded by Dan Aykroyd, co-star of the 1980 film The Blues Brothers. The first location, I'm trying to see if it was named after that. The company is financed by Dan Aykroyd, Aerosmith, Paul Schaefer, River Phoenix, Jim Belushi and Harvard University, among others. That's weird.
What a weird combo. Holy cow.
Yeah, that's nuts. That doesn't really get into whether the blues part came from that, but you got to wonder.
Yeah.
I like the one
in Vegas.
Vegas, yeah.
The one at the Mandalay.
Yeah. The Anaheim one's good too. It's all right.
Anaheim one's good. The one in, Downtown Disney and,
Yeah, we did that for BlizzCon a couple times. It was fun.
We did that. We saw God, about a year ago, Tina and I flew out there specifically to see Manic Street Preachers and Suede at that House of Blues in Anaheim.
That was the place.
I guess
where...
It's not downtown Disney. It's by that bowling alley and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, real close though. I got in trouble there because it was that place I had to show my badge for the meet and greet that we got, right. Press got to do with a bunch of Blizzard people. And when I got there, Josh Allen, who's no longer at Blizzard, stopped me and said, "Oh, you're in trouble." And I said, "What?" And I go, "Yeah, you're in trouble. You apparently took a photo of the inside of BlizzCon venue before the show opened.
Oh,
and it's a huge no-no. So I need you there. The PR is saying, please make him go delete it from all the places that he posted it." And literally all it was the a quick shot of the stage where I was going to be standing the next 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
And it was nothing there. Closed curtains. Not even a podium was up yet. It was just empty.
Right.
And I said,
so it wasn't
something
even like there wasn't even like a photo showing, oh, this is the game we're going to be announcing or the expansion or
nothing
like that.
Nothing. No information at all was given. But they were still, that right there should tell you all you need to know about the state, or at least then. I don't know how it is now, but PR at Blizzard used to be so hardcore about the tiniest things. It didn't matter. It didn't matter how small. They were just ready to destroy you. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I went and deleted as fast as I could. And that all worked out.
Nice.
All right. We're going to do one last thing. Dr. Nikki wrote in.
Oh, good. Okay.
Called in,
I hope this is, I'm hoping this is about space because she did that whole thing on ANTP about being a satellite. And I'm hoping it's about the tool bag, the tool bag in orbit.
It may be. No, I can't remember. I've had this clip for a while. Now I forgot what she said. It might be that. It could be something. It's guaranteed to be something we brought up. And she is either
she's
debunking.
She's going to clear it up. She's going to correct us.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe it's with sheep. I don't know. But we're about to find out. Here you go.
Hello, Scott and Brian. This is for TMS. You have summoned me not once, but twice. This is Dr. Nikki, by the way, Dr. Headbutt, if you will. So your first summon, you said pretty much something along the lines of, why are wasps dicks? So I can answer that. And I needed to take a break and breathe before I answer that from you because it's very mad about this. I take this personally. Wasps don't need to serve humans to exist in our society. They don't have to have a reason to exist. They're just protecting their nest. And if that were the case, then I could think of a lot of people in our government who shouldn't exist because they don't really serve society either. So leave wasps alone. Stop calling them dicks. It encourages people to kill them, and we have enough endangered bugs as there are. They're pollinators. I'm sorry that they stung Kim, but otherwise, you know, other than if they're immediately dangerous to you, let them just live their lives and exist outside of capitalism. Rant over for the wasps.
She's okay. Not going to like what we said about geese.
You asked about sheep that ate weed, and you asked me to call and talk about it. I don't know, man. Sheep, well, actually, they're grazers, so they'll eat a lot of things. I'm actually curious of whether or not it would make them high because they have four stomachs. Like, by the time it gets to the fourth one, is it so ground up that it doesn't actually activate the molecules, or were they just, like, really stoned? I think, like, dogs get stoned when they eat their human weed, so great question for further research. My comment is, like, I don't know, bro, maybe. I thoroughly enjoy the program, however. Bye, guys!
All right. I love it when she calls in, first of all.
I do, too.
So always do. Always correct us. Hey, look, the wasp thing, the bee thing, I get it. You know, I don't like bees. Let's see.
I don't like bees.
Remember this one?
I don't like bees.
I don't remember who made that for us, but
I don't either, but it is award worthy.
Yeah, it's so good. but it's just that they're annoying, but I also agree with her wholeheartedly that we should, you know, protect all life.
Yes, okay? Especially endangered bugs.
Yeah. Or anything, just whatever. Animals, bees, insects,
geese, fine, sure,
birds. They're all dicks, but whatever. Birds. They used to be dinosaurs. They're kind of cool, I guess. I don't know. Cats, mean cats, I should say.
Yeah, mean
cats. Love them all. All right, that's what we've learned here from Dr. Nikki Headbutt today. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nikki, for that. It's awesome.
How did she get the name Dr. Nikki Headbutt? That I didn't. She or Dr. Headbutt, as you once
she
said.
She puts Dr. Headbutt as her is her Twitter account name, but I don't know if it's from anything else.
Really?
Yeah, it might be from, she may use it everywhere. I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah. That may be her main thing, but I think she's in Colorado right now for some business reason. Yeah, and then going back down to Hoo-Ha-ville after that. I don't think she's there very long, though. But she put up a picture, some pictures of the mountains while she was there.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, one of them
Well, welcome to our part of the country, Dr. Nikki, and shame on you for not reaching out, letting me know you're in town.
Right? Huh. There's a weird, she has one weird fuzzy photo that looks like it's taken from a distance, maybe at night, and there's a naked bald man in a window. Can't tell what's going on there, though. It's really weird.
Oh, never mind. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
I should have recognized the giant glasses.
She does have big glasses. I love her.
Well, there's that
glasses.
One photo of hers that where she's got comically oversized glasses, if I remember correctly.
I love them. I think there should be more of that in our lives.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's great. Thank you guys for sending in all the calls and stuff you guys send in. 801-471-0462 is the place to do that. You can also email us at themorningstream@gmail.com. Patreon.com/TMS is how you can support the show, and we recommend you go check that out because there's lots of reasons to do it, and we would love to have you all join us for our live play date, Patreon or not, on Friday, because that's what we do. We do that day. Well, do we want to go
that's
early? Like 9?
Do
we do 9 on play dates, or do we still do 10?
Oh, we still did do 10, but yeah, let's plan on 10. Let people sleep in after all their tryptophan.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Oh, yeah, Thanksgiving's the night before. That's a good point. Yeah. Anyway, no show tomorrow. All right. We've said it enough times.
We're still going to get people who we're pod fading, # pod fading. Where are they?
Yeah. And it's up on the schedule, which you can find at frogpants.com/streaming, I think is where it is, or linked on any of the pages. It's always there for your perusal. And yes, I do keep it up. I check it every week, make sure everything's in line. So no show tomorrow, no show for Thursday, for Thanksgiving. Thank you, Carter. She just turned on my on-air light. She'll literally turn on a red on air light because I always forget to turn it on before I start the show. But just know that about this week's schedule. It's a little off. Monday, Wednesday for main shows, and then play date on the weekend. All right.
Cool.
Brian, I think that's it. Do you have a song to play?
I do. Tom wrote in and said, happy Thanksgiving, stuffing and birthday cake. Another circle around the globe, and my wife is another year beautiful, and unless you're having a Black Friday episode this year, her birthday on the 24th won't coincide with the show. I wanted to remind everyone of the quote at the end of Lilo and Stitch. This is my family. I'll say it the right way. This is my family. I found it all on my own. It's small and broken, but still good. Yeah, still good. Happy birthday, Malia. I'd like to request any cover from the movie, and if I get it done in time, I'll send you pictures of her present. Oh, please do, Tom. I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
Lilo and Stitch. Of course, obviously a favorite of mine because I've got stitches all over the place, and I don't even didn't even do any snitching to get all these stitches. How fortunate is that?
Yeah.
Anywho, this is a cover of a Hawaiian roller coaster ride. They actually used this for the straight to video Lilo and Stitch 2 movie. They used it for the end credits, but you hear it in Lilo and Stitch, the original Lilo and Stitch movie. And it's by the band that actually did the theme to the TV show, a band called Jump 5. Here is their cover from Disney Mania 3 from 2005, Hawaiian roller coaster ride.
Me on the horizon. How we can make your mind on Hilo, Hilo, and my Papa Anna. Get more at frogpants.com.
Hello, China.
Oh, hello, China.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.